bless you, Jen to Jen. God bless you, Connected Community. I'm so glad that you're joining us this morning. Listen, we're going to do a special broadcast, a rebroadcast, in this season of the reintroduction. Last week's message was so powerful. Apostle Eckhart just poured into this house, prophesied over this house, gave the word of the Lord about the goodness of God. So I want you to take time to listen. If you heard it before, I want you to listen to it again because it's worthy of another listen, just to build your faith. At the end of his message, he prophesies to this house, to his leaders. And I want to air that today as well. So please give your attention to this message, this word that I believe that God sent the man of God to deliver to Jen. Please tag, invite others to hear the word of the Lord. Not only is goodness coming to this house, goodness is coming to your house. So believe God that you're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In Jesus' name, enjoy and receive the message. Amen.
He had a study this Celtic and found out there was a mother being really a scripture that I never heard of before. And it was the view that when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and quoted from Julius Prophecy, that in the last day thou fought with a seed upon all flesh to be sons and daughters to prophesy, evidently he believed at that time, 2,000 years ago, that they were living in the last days, because that was the fulfillment of a last day prophecy of Joel, that the Spirit of God would come. So in the last days, Spirit of God came, day of Pentecost. And then what the church has done is expanded the last days all the way up until now for 2,000 years. Then I studied this view that the last days in Scripture were never intended to mean the entirety of the Christian age, but it was the last days of the old covenant system and the last days of Israel that they were living in that time, that they were living in the last days. But the last days of what? Was it the last age of the world, the last age of the planet, or was it the last days of the old covenant system that was coming to an end? And then, of course, judgment would come upon that city, upon the temple, prophesied by Jesus in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. Not one soul should be left there called an other, and not come down. And all of that came to an end. Now, I have to begin to examine my understanding of the last day. Now, what the teachings began to help me with was that if they were living in the last days at that time, and it did come to an end, and for the last 2,000 years, we've been living in the kingdom age. What it did for me was it got me delivered from this view that the world is always about end.
Yes.
And every time something happens in the world, because of this teaching, people get up and say, see, we're living in the last days. Well, this is my 45th year of bonus. And 45 years ago, they were telling me that I may not make it home before the world comes going in and before the rapture comes. I ain't even here. They actually taught it so much in some circles, but to some young people were thinking they're not going to even grow up beginning here, because it's going to be over by then. I remember watching a television program at that time, Glenn Beck. He was hosting John Hayden. Interesting story about John Hayden. I used to be a lot heavier. I was about maybe almost 40 pounds heavier than I am now, and I was sleeping in Uganda. And I was standing outside, and one of the amateurs came up and said, "Excuse me, are you John Hayden?" And I was like, dude, I know I don't look like John Hagee. I said, no, I'm not John Hagee, I'm John Eckhart. I'm not John Hagee. So I'm like, I need some weight. Fuck me, I'm John Hagee. Who me a drink John Hagee? Oh, that big? My God. I don't have my glasses on. John Hagee even has hair, doesn't he? But the name of why I come back, but then just does something new. Now they never forget. Glenn was interviewing John Hagee. This is around 2005. And John Hagee was talking about the last days and everything coming to an end. And Glenn asked him, he said, well, do you believe that it'll be over by 2040? And John Hagee said, definitely, it'll be over by 2020. He could not even see the church beyond 2020. And then John Hagee wrote a series of books in the 2013 on blood moons.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the blood moon was the sign of the end. So all the blood moons came and left. I guess now they're waiting on Lee Moon. Right? On Lee Moon. But they wrote these books, and it never happens, and you never can get a refund on the book. Early in 1988, there was a book that was written called 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come in 1988. He should have wrote a book in 1989 called 89 Reasons Why I Was Wrong. Then I remember Y2K. 1999, going into 2000, they were sharing that there was going to be a computer glitch and a whole world was going to shut down and all the lights were going to go off. And people in my church were actually afraid. On Watch Night service, they brought flashlights together. And I told them all year, nothing is going to happen. And I almost felt like when midnight came and I watched my service, I wanted to just have someone get the lights. Because nothing happened. Now one light bulb went off. I went to a church in Chicago, a major church, they were actually buying water, generators, gold, and silver, because they felt that when the year 2000 came, everything was going to be of any benefit. Did tape series, teachings on it, and believes in so much fear because of this mentality that we're living in the last day, that everything is coming to an end, and it's an evil day, and nothing is going to change, and things are going to get worse and worse. I actually did a study. I'm kind of staying on this long, but I might as well go with it.
Go with it.
I did a study, and I was wondering, why am I always doing these unusual studies? You got to stop and make you stop preaching? I was sculpting.
He's not kind of enough little fan.
Such a.
I used to do that to preachers that preach too long after the person to get on the feed days. I did a study called Is the World Getting Better or Is the World Getting Worse? And I happened to get on a YouTube video where there was a statistician, a person that analyzed data from the United Nations. I don't agree with everything the United Nations does, but he did a historical graph showing that the world, instead of getting worse, is actually getting better. He did a study on health, a study on economics. He did a study on life expectancy. He did a study on nations and what's in equality that are now prospering much more than ever. He did a study even on the wars and the number of deaths, and you find out that when you look at the empirical evidence that the world is really not getting worse, but the world is really improving in ways that we could never imagine. But because we tend to think that everything is getting bad, if I were to ask you in this room, your lifestyle today as compared to your grandparents and your great-grandparents, you would have to admit that you're doing better today than they were doing 100 years ago. My father was doing it in 1919, as I said last night, Mount Vernon, Georgia. My mother was Italian, my father was black. But can you imagine being born in 1919 in Georgia? My father played in the Negro Leagues, and he traveled around the country, and when he was playing baseball in the 40s and 50s, they could not even stay and eat in certain places. How many saw the movie Greenville? If you didn't, go watch the movie Greenville. They actually had a green book that if you're African American and traveling in the South, there was a green book that you could look at that showed you where you could eat and where you could sleep and where you could not eat and where you could not sleep. And there were towns called Sundown Town. How many have heard of Sundown Town? Your Sundown Town was when the sun went down, but you black. You better not be caught in that type. Now, it doesn't mean the world is perfect. But it's a lot better now for us than it was in 1998 in Mount Vernon, Georgia. It's a lot better today economically. Mm-hmm. I look at my children. One of my grandchildren came to me and said, Grandpa, can I get $100? Can you imagine asking your mother or father for $100? I was born in 1987, so a quarter was big money for me when I was a kid. You can buy one of those Susie keys for 12 cents. I mean, the Susie key had all the cream in it, the thick one, you know, the stuff they didn't have got no cream. It used to be so much cream that you can open the Susie key and mix the cream on the plastic. 12 cents. He asked me for $100. He's 5 years old. We had us aunts and uncles, they thought they were doing something when they gave us liquor. Come here, boy, let me give you something. They didn't have to tell, had a peppermint in the bottom of the bag, and they didn't open that little thing, put the big on in there. You listen about the powers of favor, and they find a nickel to here. Go give us a nickel, a big nickel, a dime, a quarter, order, a dollar. My goodness, if you have a dollar, you are rich. You can get 150 sandwich cookies for a dollar. I mean, you get a big bag and say, no cops, say, then we'll go after it or something. I only got 100 left. I can't give you one of my sandwich cookies. But sometimes, if you're not careful, because you look at the news, when I was young, the news went off. Television went off. At 2 in the morning, they prayed the national anthem. And then it would say, shh. Then it would come back on. But today, we have 24-hour news channels. We can watch news all day. News goes around the world, and you see all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world, and you think the world is just getting worse. Now, there's some problems in the world. There's some situations in the world. But sometimes, if you're not careful, you look at the world you live in and think everything is bad, and everything is going down, and the world is so terrible. And then you add that religious concept with it, that you know, it's the last thing. It's not doing any better. And a young lady got got married, and she was very strong into the latter stage nursing. And I said, well, if you believe this, why are you getting married and having children? Why would you bring children into a world where you thought the future was all bad? What kind of hope do you have as a believer that we're advancing the kingdom, that we're leaving not the generational wealth and generational prosperity and generational breakthroughs? What hope do you have as a believer if all you see are negative? Now, I know it's crazy today. I know we're dealing with stuff we've never dealt with before. I mean, anytime they're saying that a man can have a baby, a man can get pregnant. I know what they mean. What they mean is it was a woman that identified as a man, and she can have a baby. Well, the fact is, the reason why she can have a baby is because she's a woman. If men had their babies, the population would be much smaller. I'm telling you now, my wife had 5 babies. And I'm like, Dave, whatever you want, you get. Anytime you can have 5 children, because if I had to be pregnant, I'm not good with pain. Some people are like, they can handle pain. I can't handle pain. I tell people this all the time. If they were coming in and arresting everybody and taking us down the side, hooking us up and talking to us, I'm telling them everybody. I'm saying, I'm down to this ministry. You ain't got to put nothing up. You ain't got to stick nothing on me. I'm getting all the pain. I'm telling them that. I'm telling on everybody. I'm trying to avoid pain. Hello, sirs. We got men identifying as women identifying as men. I know what's inside. This vice president of campus, the Democratic governor from Minnesota, he actually passed a law to put tampons in boys' restrooms in schools. In case any boy wanted to identify as girl. Now, do you know exactly what those boys were doing with tampons? They probably would have been joking, laughing. Since when does a boy use a tampon? And now my grandson comes on, I need somebody to go buy me some tampons. And then I need somebody to get something for your head and I want to crack open, amen. And this is insane. This is the kind of crazy Lord we're living. But in spite of that, the kingdom still goes from generation to generation to generation. And I still believe in God. Then you know, in the world, things are crazy. I live in the kingdom. I tell people this. They say, well, is this bad for everyone? No, it's not. If you live in the kingdom, you don't have to live your life like the world. If the whole world goes well, God is still my provider. He's still my provider. If there's a family, I'll be satisfied in family. Because I don't walk by faith, by sight, I walk by faith. I don't know how it looks. I have an invisible king. I live in an invisible kingdom. And by faith, I can pull from heaven's resources. And no matter where I am or how bad it looks, God is still my provider, my protector, my helper, my keeper, my deliverer. He's still blessing me. And listen, if God can send some wages to feed me like I did Elijah, he will feed me. I will not starve. So which we need to get our minds renewed to this whole kingdom reality that we live in. Yeah. That we are people that even though we're on earth, our citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
Tell somebody, I'm a heavenly citizen. Living on the earth. A heavenly citizen. Living on the earth. A heavenly citizen. Living on the earth. Recently, I began to do a study on the subject of goodness, God's goodness. And I began to look up every verse in the Bible that has the word goodness. And I began to study these verses, and I know the most familiar verse is goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But there are other verses on goodness. As a matter of fact, when Moses asked to see Yahweh, God said, no man can see my face and live. But Moses, this is what I will do. I will hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I will walk past you, and you'll see my back parts. So God walks past Moses. And Moses sees this back. And the scripture says this, God caused his goodness to pass before Moses.
Yes.
I said, that's an interesting verse, Lord. Why would you describe yourself and when you rebuke yourself to Moses as goodness? And God said this to me. He said, son, I want you to understand that of all the things that I am wise, I am strong, I am powerful, I am merciful, I am gracious, I am a righteous judge, I'm a healer, I'm a deliverer. He said, I want you to understand that one of my principal characteristics is that I am good. I am good. I want you to have a revelation in my goodness. God said, by my nature, I am good, I am kind, I am gracious, I am benevolent, I am a giver. That's my nature. And so I caused my goodness to pass before Moses, and Moses saw my goodness. And he said, I want you to see my goodness in ways that you've never seen before. I want you to have a revelation of my goodness. And there are several verses that again come to me. One is that God will not withhold any good thing from them that walk upright. God is the God that gives good things. And this time we study a verse that I've never really studied before. I begin to see, and I want you to write this down and look at it with me now. It'll be the verse that I share from today. It's Psalms 31 and 19. Psalms 31 and 19. It says this. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. The King James Version said, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for them that fear thee. And the Lord said this to me. He said, son, not only am I good, he said, I have a storehouse of good things for them. A storehouse. So I began to preach a lesson called Storehouses of Goodness. That every one of you in this room who fears God, God not only has done good things for you in the past, God is not only doing good things for you in the present, but there is actually a storehouse. Somebody say storehouse. There is a storehouse where God has stored, laid up good things for you.
Yes.
And the Lord said this to me. He said, tell my people to draw from their swords. Good things. My good things could be a number of things for you. It could be, you know, financial, it could be health, it could be relationships, it could be opportunities, it could be doors. But God says, I have stored so many good things for you until I've laid up in her back for you. And there were times and seasons when I released good things to you. And he said this, he said, tell my people to expect good things. Not bad things, but good things. How you get today? How you get this morning? He said, tell my people to have an expectation. That in the days to come, good things. Somebody say good things.
Good things.
One more time, good things. And in the days to come, good things are going to manifest in your life. In the years that I've been in ministry, I've met people who have experienced some difficult things in their life. Tragic, hurtful, painful. And they've been conditioned to believe that nothing good is coming my way. There are people that actually expect bad things to happen. And when something bad happens, they say, I knew. I knew it was just a matter of time before bad things happened in my life. And then I'm surprised I went so long without anything bad happening. There are people that don't expect good things. If something good happens, they're surprised. They're like, I can't believe this. Nothing good ever happened to me. It's like the fifth call. When the radio station you call, the fifth call would get tickets. To this day. And the person calls the fifth caller, the answer, and says, congratulations, you're the fifth caller, and they scream, oh my God! I can't believe it! That's the way some people live their lives, hoping that something new will happen. And it does happen, surprise! Or it happens to other people, but it never happens to me. And this is because they never have a revelation of the goodness of God. That God is good, that God loves doing good things for his people. I say God loves doing good things for his people. And because their minds have not been renewed to this, because they don't expect and believe for good things to happen. Every new year, people gather together in hope. There's going to be a new year. I'm going to thank God, don't hear it over. My God, I'm glad that's over. The new year, I'm hoping we're going to have a great year. We have all these, you know, these confessions at the beginning of the year. It's going to be more in 2024, and open door in 2024. We did not get any wines. I guess 2020 God will still be alive. But many people, many of God's people, really have never studied God's goodness. And sometimes, but a preaching man we hear, I remember years ago, a minister that was close to Kevin Leo went and joined You're almost in experience and in one of the minister on the staff. Now, if you don't know about Dorothy is going to always be here. Good goodness. You never hear Dorothy say, you're on your way to hell. Never. I'm here, baby. Yes, I'm on the floor. He really comes around in my heart already. He hear my voice in your child. We listen to it. You know, it's already the night father's a message. That's the right joy. That's all for all. I mean, because he preached father the messages out. I'm at least encouraging somebody. But listen, I'm not here to say that, you know, he's out like this building with 20,000 folk. And he, you know, he's not casting out any devils. He got a new Satan. Here you are, you cast the devil's prophesied. You got to break his body, Mary. Amen. Name of the Lord, people are holy. Amen. For a while, and you got to be 40 million. These are 40,000 times and back and goes. We always be here for the Lord.
Yeah, those lights.
And in your church is struggling. Nobody goes. They put the cameras out. All these people. Here you are. We got 5 minutes, 2 minutes left. We had a touch spit with 6 4. And then you'll preach this way. Man, prophesying, come out, on the old people, send the paper, come on, and then they have to spit on, punch, throw a pizza. I remember years ago, you know, coming out of the position, we could be preaching out, and let that. Yeah, we're pulling time to get in the pulpit. They should get up there with a step like this. Talking about how the ministry delivers to a young man, and I'm afraid the picture to come out, and that girl reached up and grabbed my top. And then pushed it, I was able to see what's hanging me. I didn't think I was going to make it. I didn't even know who was in front. I mean, yeah, and then it was laughter. I mean, he was dead. So, I mean, I finally got free, and I went out and walked me over to the football guy. Then I went to the football guy. This guy, he was at my time. He was coming off.
You don't see demons grabbing Joel Osteen's tackle. But it gives an encouraging message. It's okay for the Toby. He said one day we were driving a backward church, and the minister that had joined Joel Osteen's church, they've been there a while, he said, can I ask you a question, Kevin? He said, do you really believe that God is as good as Joel Osteen Christie's?
That's how the burden.
Oh, escape. Listen. He couldn't believe.
Yes.
I know God is good, but Joel, he can't be happy.
Ten.
And Kevin said, not only is he as good as Joel Osteen preaches, he's better. Come on, he's better. He's good.
It's the truth.
I'm not saying that God doesn't judge things and God doesn't, you know, punish. I believe in all that. God's justice, God's vengeance. But God is so good until it's hard for us.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, God is so good.
Yeah.
Until he rains upon the just and the unjust.
Come on. Yes. That's right. You know, that's the word.
You never see the five disorders, right? With rain falling.
Yeah.
And the wicked have no rain. When it rains, it falls on everyone.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so sometimes when we think about God's goodness, we quote the verses, goodness and mercy, goodness and mercy. We're religious in what we say, but we never ever really thought about the goodness of God. And when I read this verse, and not only is God good, God has stored up.
There is something.
Come on, say it. God has stored up.
God has stored up.
goodness for me.
And then the Lord said this to me. He said, son, I have so much goodness stored up for you until it is inexhaustible. You can never empty out this storehouse. There is so much goodness in your storehouse. I said, no matter how much you see, it's never all the time. There's a storehouse with your name on it.
But call it my storehouse, Eckhart's storehouse.
Come on, use your last name, say it. Come on, say it again.
David's storehouse.
That God would open up a treasure and release good things for your life.
Yes.
Let me read this commentary. The phrase laid up suggests that God's goodness is stored and preserved, ready to be given. It implies that God's blessings are prepared in advance for those who fear base. Then it says this, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the Son of the Being.
Wow.
Before the Son of the Being. God's goodness is something he actively brings about through his death, his deeds and actions. When you trust God, and it comes before the sons of men. This phrase indicates that God's goodness is displayed openly in the presence of others, which means that when God's goodness hits your life,
and
you will not be able to hide. Others are going to see. You can be so blessed until others see it.
Oh, thank you.
As a matter of fact, God wants other people to see it.
Right, all right.
God wants to showcase you before men.
Yeah.
Because God wants men to see how good he is.
That's right. That's
and
right.
One of the only ways men can see how good he is by seeing it in your life.
Good.
When people look at your life and they see how good God has been to you, God will let them know that I'm a good God. If you want that kind of goodness, come to me. It'll be an evangelistic tool that will draw me into Christ. I want to serve without the
Jesus. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. 100%. Thank you.
I was preaching in India. I think I've been in India 3 times. I have a member of my church who loves India. But when I go to India, it is just overwhelming. Just too many people. It's just like when you're on the street, you got cars, buses, trucks, motorcycles, houses. It's just too much. They are like $200 million. And it just overwhelms me. I would feel a call to India. Some people pull a call in, come here for a gig. When I got there, I enjoyed the ministry to the people. But I'm like, my God, this is endless too many days. That out there is smart. This is just too much. It's school.
Too many days. Lord.
There's so many older things, too many smells.
Oh, yeah. That's sad.
So I'm preaching in India, and this young man pulled up the prayer line for deliverance. And as we're praying for him, one of the Spirit of God begins to tell us that he has some
idols in his life that's preventing him from receiving his deliverance. Or in his home.
Yes, of Aiden.
And so we asked him, we said, you're a Christian, right? He said, yeah, would there be any idols in your house? He said, no, I don't. He said, but I believe it was his cousin needed a place to live. When his cousin came to his house, he brought his idol with him. And I thought about this. I said, if I had nowhere to live, and my God has nowhere to live,
Come on.
What kind of cloud is that? I would serve the
God. Come on now.
I was standing somewhere a long time ago, so you're going to be all right, brother. Not only can you not provide for me, well, I'm about to go to my cousin's house and you say, hey, you will take me with you. I'm going to let go. You know, religion just doesn't make sense. I was switching in Cologne, Germany. I mean, you're going to Cologne, Germany, they have the largest Gothic cathedral in Europe. It's a huge cathedral. And as a matter of fact, they're still building the cathedral. And they've been building it for 400 years. And you thought your building project was wrong?
Yeah.
So you go into this cathedral, huge, but it's dark. And you go in there, they actually have tombs inside the cathedral of bishops and cardinals that have died. So you're trying to worship God, and there's a grave here? So we just went and looked at it. No presence. I didn't feel the presence of God. It was dark. I was waiting for Quasimodo, the Hunchback of Notre Dame, to come out, you know, down the stairs. This is just crazy, man. I don't even know where in the world I was worshiping this. So we're going out. And in the Catholic Church, they light candles. For people who are in purgatory. If you're in purgatory, which is kind of like semi-hell. The purgatory ain't full hell, but it's part hell. So they're lighting candles, praying for them to be able to come out of purgatory and go to heaven. And I thought, I said, if someone's in hell burning, the last thing they need is another match. You gotta bring your idol with you when you don't have a place to live. You light matches for folk that's already burning. This stuff just does not make sense.
That makes sense.
God is good beyond what we could ever imagine. God has good things prepared for you. Not only for this month, but every month I believe God for something good. Every month, every year, I believe God for something good. I believe God that good things are coming my way. I believe that my storehouse is open and you're releasing good people. Good opportunities.
I like that.
Good ideas.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good finances. Good inventions.
Yes, sir.
Good things. Good miracles. Good breakthroughs.
Yes, sir.
And I can actually ask God for good things.
Yes, sir.
Ask and you shall receive. I can say, God, do a good thing for me.
Yes.
David said, I would have perished unless I had believed. I would have fainted unless I would have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You need some good things while you're still living. Not when you get to heaven, now. I need some good things now. And I want it to be so great that everybody can see.
Yeah.
You won't have to show it off.
Oh, come on.
You won't be able to hide it.
Come on.
God's blessing can be on your life so much is when people look at you and you can try to hide it, but you won't be able to hide it. The goodness of God is going to manifest before the sons of men, because God wants people to know He's a good God, He's a kind God, He's a generous God, He's a God of favor, He's a God of grace, He's a God of blessings.
Yes.
He'll give you goodness.
Yes.
No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Bible says the lions do suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I believe God for good things to happen in my life. Listen, bad stuff has been going on all over the world. Bad news can be on television. But I believe God, in spite of what I see, that God's goodness is going to manifest in my life.
Hallelujah, God. Yes, God. Yes.
You heard people say this. Well, if God is so good, why does He allow bad things to happen here? People look at bad things and blame God. God is not the reason why bad things happen to people. You can die before your time because of foolishness.
That's right.
Wisdom is the principal thing. They won't get wisdom. But all I need to get understanding.
Yes.
Most people don't put a priority on wisdom.
Yes. Yes, sir.
In the book of Proverbs, which is one of my favorite books, if I were to give you a synopsis of the book of Proverbs in a few words, here's my synopsis. Don't be stupid.
Come on.
You got me about to get married. And the father said, I see somebody on a green flying around.
Yeah.
Now see,
Well, good.
But you don't meet. They gonna do any more because of very good.
But despite me,
I had a couple in my church. I went to Africa 1 year. I got back. The young couple walked up to me and said, "Guess what, Pastor? Well, you were in Africa. We got a leader."
The Pentecostal.
I'm like, I didn't know you all were Turkish.
Well, my church was good, sir.
You know, you got missions. You just y'all really need a good way. I got back.
Wow.
No counseling.
Oh, I'm
well. Wow. Yeah, you got there.
I don't care.
I want to see you alone. Hey, sir. And I knew that in this case, not about this, but in this case, that the young lady married, she was a dentist. So one day we're in service. He was a musician in my church. He's still there. He's following with keyboard. We're in praise and worship. She walks to the building. While in service, walks up, picking up lines on the keyboard. Leans back. And makes a direct connection with his job. In the
You couldn't wait to get out of something that was your hand.
I like this. I can link this same book in my head when I was gone. But this time I'm going. This time I'm Then she turned his eyes, cutting up his suit, starting with the oil of the palace of Italy. And I told him, I said, bro, if you don't get out of this mammy, somebody's gonna be hurt. I didn't really tell people to divorce, but I told them, bro, this did not go on well. I wanted to say you're done, you shouldn't have been while I was gone anywhere. That was stupid. But see, folks do stuff like that because they're afraid of the pastor. Don't say, This ain't gonna work. So they waited till I went to Africa. They were so happy when they were in front of me. They smiled. Okay, this ain't gonna last. This is not good. Eventually, he ended up going to divorce. He got remarried. Thank God this time, he married the same woman. That's all. It's not always the women. You can have nuts to the men too. I found out that idiocy covers all barriers. It covers everything. All of us got family members. That when you go to the family again, you just come in looking like, okay, y'all, see you next year. God bless you. It was good hanging out with y'all. But y'all crazy. Y'all fully limited to drinking and getting naughty with each other. And folk got issues. And folk are mad. And folk are blaming you for their problems. And my thing is, I ain't got nothing to do with your life and your dumb decisions that you made all your life. Now you mad at me and mad at mom and mad at daddy because you made some stupid choices in your life. Now you want to get mad at everybody and cuss everybody out at the family reunion and get to fighting and get drunk because you made some difficult decisions. So again, Proverbs says, don't be stupid. Don't make dumb decisions. Don't make stupid decisions. all of us have done something in our lives that wasn't smart.
Yes.
If you can go back and make your life over, you would have crossed the street when you saw that person coming.
Yes.
Now you would.
Yes.
But thank God for God's mercy.
Yes.
Thank God for Jesus.
Yes.
Thank God for grace.
Yes.
There's some things we just don't do. Because it just doesn't make sense. It's stupid. You're putting your life at risk. And when you think about the goodness of God, I want anyone in this room that in the month of August, the month of September, the month of October, the month of November, the month of December, that you're gonna begin to pull on your storehouse. And I'm going to decree that in Jen Ministries, you will see good things in the months and years to come. God's storehouse of goodness.
Yes, sir.
Before the sons of men. This phrase indicates that God's goodness is displayed openly in the presence of others.
Yes, sir.
It suggests that the blessings and favor of God upon those who fear and trust Him are visible and evident to others, serving as a testimony.
Yes.
Tell somebody your life will be a testimony. God's goodness is not random or arbitrary.
Yes.
It is intentionally prepared and reserved for those who live in reverence and trust towards Him. The goodness of God towards His people is not just a private experience, but a public testimony. It serves to demonstrate God's character and faithfulness to a watching world. Those who fear and reverence God, believers, are encouraged to reflect on the greatness of God's goodness and respond with awe and gratitude. Recognizing the extent of God's goodness fosters a deeper appreciation and love for Him. The promise of God's goodness for those who fear and trust Him, believers are called to cultivate a life of reverence, fear, and faith, trust in God. The visible nature of God's goodness in the lives of believers serves as a powerful witness to others. It challenges believers to live in a way that demonstrates God's goodness to the world. In conclusion, Psalms 31:19 is a powerful reminder of the abundant goodness that God has prepared for those who fear and trust in Him. This goodness is not only experienced personally, but also serves as a testimony to God's faithfulness and character before others. Believers are called to live in reverence and trust, continually reflecting on and giving thanks for the great goodness of God, which means that God's goodness is something that we should always celebrate.
Yes.
We should always be praising God for His goodness. We should always be thanking God for His goodness. And if you've got nothing else to thank God for, you're going to get up and say, Lord, I thank You that You're good, that You're good to me, that Your goodness is released on my life. Father, I thank You for the good things You're doing in my life. I thank You for the good things that You're standing to Your feet right now. You're going to put those things together.
Good things
to occur in my life.
Yes.
Yes, God.
I will respect him.
I will respect
him. From
this day forward,
I will accept
good things,
good things,
good things
that happen in my life.
Let me say one more thing while you're just sitting there.
Amen.
Another verse says this. I'll be satisfied from the goodness of your heaven. The Lord said this to me. He said, there are houses of goodness, churches. When you attend that church, there is goodness. There is goodness
there
in that house.
Yeah.
When you hear the preaching, you sing praises, you worship, you pray, there is goodness in that house. I pray for this ministry.
What that is the goal.
Then there's goodness in this house. I'm going to take my goodness in this house. Which means every time you talk, every time you gather, they set something on. I said it's sex something. We're not just coming to church just to come to church. Good things are going to happen in my life when I come to this house. I want to say good things are going to happen when I come to this house. Good things are going to happen. Listen to the sea.
these little good things, and they were over you, the Lord. Yes, this is the season, said the Lord, that I will do something for you. The great things you'll see in the years ahead of you. Yes, mighty things and glorious things I will do for you. So trust in me and know that I will do God for you. Trust and know you see the great things that I will do. Good things will come in abundance for you in the months ahead. Oh, your head will not be challenged, but I'll lift it up. I'll lift it up. You will have joy and gladness, and you will celebrate my goodness and my favor. Oh, yes, it will be great. You'll dance and you'll rejoice, and you'll thank me for my kindness. Yes, you'll dance and you'll rejoice. I am ever mindful of you. I've not forgotten you, my people. And now I open the door for you. And good things will come like a flood. They will flood and march over you. And there'll be so much until you and I have room enough to receive. I'll do what's been of the Lord because you trust in me and you will redeem me. And because you trust in me, my eyes are always on you. And good things are spoken and prophesied over you today. Also receive them. Lift your hands and worship me. And receive the good things. Yes, things that you will see. I will observe them with you. In the weeks and months can I love.
Stop.
Oh, good things. Good things. Oh, for you, though, you still respond. Yes, I didn't know it could be this good in my life. I never knew that my God has been so good and the amazing things that he will do. But not only am I trusting in him, but what our goodness has shown me. Because I trust and I believe more than connected to this eternity.
God bless. bless you. I know you were blessed by today's message. Listen, it's not over yet. Amen. I just wanted to come before the prophetic ministry is released because I want you to hear this word. I want you to hear what God is saying to our house, saying to his leaders, and saying to you as well. Amen. Pay attention to this prophecy. Write it down. Grab it by faith. I believe, amen, that God wants to see his goodness in the lives of his people. Amen. All over this nation, all over this world, even in your generations. Amen. After you hear the prophetic word, there will be an opportunity for you to sow. Amen. In response to this word, in response to this, amen, sow a seed. Amen. Amen. Make an investment. Gen to gen is good ground. And we're seeing the goodness of God. And there's a level of goodness that we're about to step into that we've never seen before. I pray for the manifestations of goodness in your life. I pray for the manifestations of goodness in your family, in your generations. You're going to see the goodness of God. Now let's give our attention, amen, to this prophetic ministry.
Father, I want the wife to come and say, Father, I want the wife to come and send me with you. So we see the way you can bless the thing about me.
The wealthy. Father, bless them.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, even as we stand in this new place today, if there exists the two things that are coming your way. Isaiah 42 and 9 will come to pass. Behold, the former things that come to pass and new things do I declare. Before this spring forth, I tell you of them. The Lord said, because you embrace the prophetic, and because you're open to hear the voice of your God, I speak new things over you. Good things. You will come down and know my goodness, but you will also teach others how to receive my goodness, how to believe in my goodness, how to walk in my goodness. And you'll break the curse of bad things always happening to people. You'll break it, and you'll cause a new cycle to come of good things. And you'll teach my people how to accept and believe in my goodness, in my mercy, and in my likings. You'll teach them how to trust me and believe me for good things. And this will be a house of goodness where people will come and experience the goodness of God. For many have been hurt, wounded, and broken by life's problems and situations. And they'll say, nothing ever good happens to me. Nothing ever good comes to my life. But when they come into this house, it will change. It will shift. And they'll begin to see my goodness in their lives that they've never seen before. For you will minister to them and encourage them and prophesy to them and teach them and bring them into my presence. And this will be a house of goodness. And men and women will begin to experience breakthroughs that they've never known before. Because I'll manifest my goodness. As long, says the Lord, as you walk in humility to me, and as you listen to my voice, and you follow my direction, expect with these. For if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. I'll cause you to come into a good land, a land of promise. A land of milk and honey, a land of blessing, a land of fountains, a land of rivers, a land of rain, a land in which I look upon. You live in that land, says the Lord, and you teach others how to get into the land. Now, this is it. The Lord says your church will be like a crossover, Jim. It helps people cross over from the wilderness into the good land. It'll be a church where people transition and cross into something new and something racist. It'll be a crossover church. They have people coming to this church, they'll cross their joy. They'll leave the wilderness and come into a place of prosperity. And you'll teach them how to prosper. You'll teach them how to be a success. You'll teach them how to enjoy good things. You'll renew their minds and break the curse of lack and the curse of poverty and the curse of bad things happening in a cycle. You'll reverse the curse, said the Lord. It'll be a house of goodness. So preach my goodness, teach my goodness, give my people a revelation on how good I am, kind, merciful, gracious, compassionate, speaking to this generation. And then it touched generations to come, even one being. As they're growing up, you'll lay a foundation in their life of my goodness and teach them how to live a life that attracts my goodness and my favor and my blessing and my grace. So I come to do a new thing and a place, even a fresh anointing upon you. Even as you celebrate 10 years, I cause Psalms 92 and 10 to manifest in your life. You'll be anointed with fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. There'll be a fresh weight and fresh oil. And even though you get older, I'll renew your youth like the eagle said God. I'll renew you and strengthen you and revive you and give you the strength you need to continue to minister and preach and teach and prophesy and raise up another generation.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Take part under leaders.
Yeah.
And raise up leaders. You'll be a leader of leaders. You'll raise up leaders. You'll be a leader, leaders of leaders. I'm part of that leadership school where you train leaders, how to be leaders, how to be ahead, not to be behind, but raise up that leadership school and teach what it means to be a leader, what it means to go ahead, what it means to pioneer, what it means to break through, what it means to be a trailblazer, what it means to be a pathfinder, what it means to open up the way for others to follow as we come into the place that I'm sending you into. Are you ready? I'm a shouting to come on to raise up the leader.
Along my saying now the beings I go on all we have for you. Hallelujah, Father, thank you for new grace, new anointing, favor. I pray for wisdom, new wisdom, new grace on your life. I thought I'll stop. New strength, new power, new being with the green over you. Leaders are being raised up, good things over you because of your faithfulness. And I ask you to lay hands on you. I decree it is a new season for you, you leaders. It's a new season. Come on, am I saying that? Please step the hands toward these leaders. I speak blessings and favor and grace. Step on away over your life. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Every leader in this church, every leader in this house, thank you, Father, for doing something new and something fresh in their life right now. Lord, I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. I thank you for great things. I decree Jeremiah 43 and 3 over you. Call on me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now I will show you great and mighty things in this church. Let this church experience great and mighty things throughout the rest of this year. In the 2025, in the 2026, in the 2027, let great and mighty things be your portion.
Stupid.
I sleep in.
And I bless you. Raise your hand one more time. I speak grace, favor, peace, shalom, prosperity, wisdom, knowledge, favor, glory, goodness over your life and over your ministry. As you stood with his name, that woman of God let you reap an abundant harvest for your families, your businesses, your ministries, everything you step your hands to. I decree it and I speak it over your life today in Jesus' name. Come on, put those hands together and thank God.
Those will experience this. My generation will experience this.